Stephanie, you had a, you know, you mentioned this concept of a switch and continuation maintenance, which I think, I don't know, people who treat lung cancer remember those terms from about 5 years ago is when I first started hearing them. You had a slide in your deck that I thought was really cool, trying to explain what the difference is. It's sort of simple, but yet the more you think about it, the more it kind of means. Can you kind of go through, Stephanie, what this is?
Yeah, so I think for me, I point this slide because I think it's very important, specifically what we want to analyze the study all together. I think it's very important concept that we need to have, and specifically for the bevacizumab, but also for the PARP inhibitor treatment. So, for example, if we take the veraprib trial, veraprib was given with chemo, and then, again, this continuous maintenance. So we don't have a gap or a break. And again, when we're talking about olaparib or niraparib, or recalprib at the time of platinum sensitive recurrence, we have a gap. So patient actually had the chemotherapy, had to respond to the chemotherapy because all these trials did not include stable disease. Like as part of this trial, patient had to have a partial response or complete response. So again, we can discuss what we do in practice sometimes, but like all this trial was this kind of 8 weeks gap usually before the end of the chemo and starting the PARP inhibitor treatment. So when we analyze, for example, the continuous maintenance or the switch maintenance, the timing will be different because we didn't start the maintenance at the same time. So I think that is an important notion when we look at the data.
So before we go on, I wanted to talk a little bit about practical issues, particularly toxicity. Just one final thought, getting back, Rob, to our discussion and you sending me these papers and my simplified, you know, approach to this. The one thing that I think I'm hearing you all say is this issue of Bev and PARP inhibitor. The reason it reminds me of chemotherapy, endocrine therapy, and breast cancer is it sounds like it's a separate decision. You know, each one affects each other. Each affects the numbers. So if you bring the number down, the absolute benefit change. But in terms of relative risk reduction, it seems like they're kind of two separate decisions. And it sounds like what you all are doing is applying one risk reduction to Bev, although some of you believe it doesn't really thunder out there. Probably the whole thing will go down here with any event. So maybe you question whether it's there or not, but it certainly doesn't change. But yet when you look at the PARP decision, there what I see in a basic, you know, adjuvant type module is the risk reduction changes. So if you have BRCA germline, you get a big risk, much bigger risk reduction, and you know, going down to HRD, et cetera. So it kind of reminded me that of that, Rob, in that they're kind of independent numeric functions that you can sort of work with. Does that kind of make sense to you?
Yeah, see? Congratulations. You did good.
I understand your papers. Is that what your papers said?
You got it. And it's funny that you bring it up because actually there's a question that came in through the chat room that asked about this indirectly. They basically said, hey, listen, if I get 3 months in the median for Bev and 3 months in the median for niraparib, why do you choose it? And so I answered it back and I said, listen, the point is, and this is what you just illustrated, is that hazard ratios reflect the risk at every single point of exposure. So from day one until the end of the time that they're exposed to the drug, there is a risk reduction that happens. And that's not captured well by using medians. So yes, if you see a 30% reduction in the 30% reduction in the hazard for progression or death, that's what you're looking at with Bev. That's what you're looking at with these PARP inhibitors. And it's even greater in the patient population that's defined by the biomarker.
Yeah, it kind of frustrates me when I hear people talk about absolute differences because, you know, theoretically, you're really looking at hazard rate. And actually, correct me if I'm wrong, the hazard rates in the advanced disease, the platinum-sensitive trials, seem similar hazard rate-wise to what you saw in adjuvant, you know, like 70% reduction bracket germline, you know, in the niraparib study. Anyhow,